Welcome to Talk the Dog, the show where we find a bone to pick and a take to give. These are not hot takes. These is dog takes. Can I talk that dog? Let's shut up and grab some tape.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? We got a whole nother hour loaded up for you guys right here on the Film Guy Network. And it's our best hour. It's our local hour, gentlemen.
Yes.
Y'all ready to talk some dog?
Always. Talk some dog while the Hoop Dogs play some ball.
Yeah, we get labeled the anti-basketball show sometimes.
Yeah.
Hey, look, man, we got set schedules. You know, I know y'all do too, but we'll dodge smoke, not even from the Hoop Dogs. It's a big one, though, Kentucky.
Yeah,
it's a must-win situation.
Game remaining is a big one.
Everywhere out, we just got to win them all.
Yeah, this season kind of took a downturn.
Yes, it did. But anyways,
that's a 17-8 Kentucky basketball team, though.
They're beatable.
It's not like
they're beatable.
How about me knowing the round ball? How about that?
So proud of you.
Right?
Good job,
so
man.
Proud of you.
I spit a record at you. About the extent of my knowledge on that one. All right, we got a great one for you guys. More staff news to address tonight on the show. Combine invites accepted. What are there, 8 guys going up there? 9?
10.
10. Got 10 guys going up there. We're going to unveil one of our favorite segments of the year. We're going to guess some 40s tonight. I didn't even tell you guys that.
Oh, you did?
I slapped some numeros.
I'll just do it off the brain.
I slapped some. That was my segment. That ain't yours. That's my segment.
Okay, never mind.
That's for me to put my reputation on the line. Not you.
My one-third of contribution around here will not be had during that
segment. We know who this show's about, and it's about...
I can't do it, man.
It's about...
You want... All right, there you go.
That guy right there. let's talk news. Oh, J-Will's got a comp tonight. I'm excited for this. I was thinking about a player comp for you. I'll think about that while you do your segment of a seasonal comp.
Okay.
I'm thinking right now. You got some Pierce Sperling to your game. Long, slender, maybe a vertical threat. We'll talk about it.
All right.
Staff news, let's talk about it. Georgia adds David Whitlow Jr. You want to know what the most important fact about David Whitlow Jr. is?
What?
He's been following me on Twitter for years.
That is important, I suppose.
Wow.
He's a ball knower.
That must be why Georgia hired him.
He's a ball knower.
Contributing to your top 20 ranking.
You heard it here first, subscribers. If you subscribe to the Film Guy Network and follow Brooks Austin on Twitter, you too might get a job at the University of Georgia.
Hey, stars align.
Just saying.
The facts are facted.
Won't know till you try it.
That's right. You should follow Brooks Austin on Twitter. You might get hired by Kirby Smart.
And subscribe. Do that first.
But you want to know what his actual history is?
Let's hear the resume.
Here's really why I think he's hired at Georgia. He's a great young football coach.
Oh, yeah.
But he spent his first 2 years as a graduate assistant at Auburn. Anybody know who he might have coached with?
What years was he there?
This would have been 2020 to 2022. Mm.
So it wouldn't have been – oh, it was
– yeah, it's Mike a nice Bobo crossover with Mike Bobo on that GA staff right there. After spending 2 years on that graduate assistant staff, we spent a season in 2023 with Ole Miss. Not bad.
Nope.
Got a little seasoning down there with Lane Kiffin. And also a football coach that, you know, Kirby Smart well approves of. And then in 2024, you know where we're at? We're at West Georgia. We're at West Georgia. And then in 2025, you know where we're at? We're at one of the best rebuilds in all of college football last year, Kennesaw State. We took Kennesaw State to a conference champion first year there as a wide receivers coach. Now, what is very interesting about this is his entire coaching lineage is all at the wide receiver department. Now, we were a hybrid quarterback wide receiver at Alabama State as a player. And a DB. We did it all. But our coaching lineage has been at wide receiver, and the verbiage and reporting on this is that he is going to help out quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not saying it can't be done. It's just, it's weird. It's interesting.
Well, I think the more important thing to note out of all of that is maybe his specific title did not say quarterback at any of those spots. But you mentioned Mike Bobo. That guy's been coaching quarterbacks and calling offensive plays for a long time. Made a stop over at LSU. We know Lane Kiffin, obviously a quarterback guru at this point for what he's able to do and help out with his quarterbacks. Even at West Georgia, the current quarterbacks coach at LSU was offensive coordinator at West Georgia during that time.
Guy knows ball.
So, just saying. I mean, he's worked with some guys that have a lot of experience and are known for those types of things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely on paper it's unique, but at the same time, I don't think that there's ever been a time where you look at a decision that Kirby Smart and his staff have made and gone, what the hell were they thinking with this one? Like, this makes absolutely no sense. So, I mean, there's certainly a logical reason as to why he's being brought in to help at this specific position. So,
chat wanted us to talk about Larry Knight. We'll talk about all of the additions in a recap here in just a little bit, but we spoke ad nauseum about Larry Knight last night, the Arkansas State, now West Virginia, now Georgia, outside linebackers coach and pass rush specialist. We'll get back to him in just a little bit. It's another young, energetic dude in the room, and I don't mean to like hyperventilate or over-focus on the hyper-focus on the fact that he's been a wide receivers coach. If I can teach you how to block, I can teach you how to beat blocks. If I can teach you how to get open, I can teach you why they're open and when they're going to be open. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? If I can teach you how to be a good wide receiver, I would imagine I can teach quarterbacks why wide receivers are good.
Right.
And that matters, building that rapport and building that language. I did have someone reach out to me and was like, hey, we figured out who Gunnar Stokes' quarterback coach is. No, we have not. That's not what I'm talking about. I know Mike Bobo is his quarterback's coach. I know my man Whitlow is going to help out with quarterbacks. I'm talking about who is responsible for his off-season mechanical development. That's what I want to know, and I will continue to ask that.
The bag work.
Yeah, the bag. Honest to God, the bag work. Like, who is developing our – because, like, people's like, yeah, he's got a quarterback's coach. Yeah, quarterback's coach can't work with him in February. You know? He's got to go out there and do that on his own. So, it's an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, I'd be pissed if I was Rich Rod.
Oh, yeah.
I'd take a page right out of Beamer's book, though. I got to see it. I got to see that press conference.
We didn't want that bum anyways.
Yeah.
We got who we wanted.
You know what? If you want to be in my building – to help out.
We're about to tell him to leave anyways.
Yeah, we were right around the corner finding the candidate we actually wanted.
West Virginia's nobody's secondary selection. Nobody's. Okay. More commonly known as the Gummy Van Gorder spot.
Yeah.
Is what just got filled, mm-hmm. which went a year without it, basically.
Yeah, he got taken off the staff last offseason, and then don't believe it was ever filled, based on what I found on Google when I looked up who was the most recent assistant quarterbacks coach at Georgia. It was Gummy Van Gorder. That happened like right after Pro Day for Georgia. It was very recent.
Damn Eagles.
Yep, the Eagles once again poaching a dog. And then now they have filled that position again. So maybe that was the problem all along. Just didn't have an assistant quarterbacks coach.
Mm. Well, it's better than not having one at all.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Michigan Wolverines.
Good Lord.
One of the craziest stories of all time.
We don't need that.
It's like, yeah, you don't need a quarterback's coach.
Bryce Underwood, he's really good. He knows what he's doing.
I mean, we pay you $3 million and you can coach yourself.
What am I going to do? Tell him to throw the ball?
If you'd have watched his pocket mechanics last year, you'd be like, oh, it makes sense now. We had nobody telling us what we were doing wrong. All right, there's been a lot of changes on the coaching staff. This offseason, additions, subtractions, promotions. I think it's a good time to recap these things for the audience.
Yeah,
let's do it. You want to start with the guys who left?
Yes.
The guys who got promoted or the guys who got hired?
Guys who left.
All right, let's start with the guys who got left or guys who left. Chidera Uzodiribe, now the outside linebackers coach for the Dallas Cowboys. He is out. After spending 4 years here.
Probably the biggest departure you had this season.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, the only on-field position coach that left. The rest of these guys are support staff.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, when we say they're on-field or support staff, everybody's on-field during practice. Mm-hmm. So they're all position coaches in a sense. But some of them obviously matter more than others, like Uzo. Will Muschamp, off of the analyst staff, now the defensive coordinator at Texas. I'll say this, though. I think the loss of Muschamp was felt after the 2024 season. You experienced what it felt like to be Muschampless in 2025. Per my understanding and sourcing, Boom wasn't super heavily involved this year defensively.
Yeah, it was kind of a show up, write some things down, be like, hey.
Crack some Ys.
Yeah, here's a good idea, and then collect his 300K and get on his way.
Yeah, here's my notes from the film that I watched. Here's what I thought. Here's the coaching additives. Here you go. I'm headed to Nashville.
Gotta go watch my boy.
Ride some pine.
Come on. That was me. That was very Ole Miss fan of you.
You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. Ty or Chris Hatcher?
Oh, Ty Hatcher.
Chris is the dad?
Yes.
Okay. Ty Hatcher, a quarterback / offensive analyst a year ago. I was under the impression he was in the Gummy Van Gorder role. You told me today his title was offensive analyst.
It was offensive quality control.
Okay, so he was a QC guy. He's now at LSU. So he's gone.
Up and comer.
Up and comer, big time.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Garrett Cox is now the linebackers coach at Texas. Is that correct?
I think so.
Yeah, he's coaching with the linebacker. I don't know if
he's with Muschamp at Texas.
I don't know if he is the linebackers coach. I know that's like the role he will be in, though. So, I mean, either way, he's not on Georgia's staff anymore.
Yeah, he was Georgia's second linebackers coach last year, and he is no longer on the staff.
So, I mean, that linebackers room took a beating.
Correct.
With the exception of Glenn Schumann.
Senior defensive analyst.
Okay. So he's still. Same thing. He's still going to be
contributing. We're doing the same thing over with Texas and probably making a good bit more, a little bit more money. So there's that. Those are the losses. Now, you mentioned something to me pre-show that is worth talking about now. The fact that they don't have very many failures.
No. We were kind of working through this, and we might be wrong, but the last coach that was on staff that got truly like, hey, you have been fired was James Coley in 2019. That's 7 years from now. Now, of course, along the way, there
have been. You got a face.
Matt Luke.
Matt Luke retired.
And here's what I was about to say. There have been
all right.
There have been guys along the way of, hey, you know, maybe it's best you go here. Maybe it's best that you take that next step in your career. Maybe it's best that you retire. They don't very often come out and be like, this isn't working. You got to go. Like,
yeah. My only three were James Coley. You brought up Matt Luke. Does Jamila Dye fit in this category?
Was he here long enough to be considered?
He's here for like 18 months.
Yeah.
And then went to Miami, and now he's
like in the NFL.
Bro, he's a guy in the NFL now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but it didn't – you don't take lateral moves. You don't leave Georgia to go to Miami at the time. At the time. I know what Miami is now, but you don't do that. You don't leave Kirby Smart to go down to
not
Miami.
Not that quickly.
No. So I don't know if that was an ultimate success story, but the rest of them have been.
Right.
Seven years without a bad, like,
I guess it's one of those things where maybe it's not a success, maybe not a failure. It's just more so a didn't work out type of thing. Like, nothing catastrophic happened when Jamal Adai was with the defensive backs, but now – Kirby Smart and a lot of other people that have a lot of experience there had their hands there. But, you know, I would say maybe not a failure. Why you give me that look?
No, I'm just laughing about hey, man, I got to get off the phone. My mom, I got to get my mom a new apartment. I've told you that story.
Oh, yeah. No chat. Matt Luke was not fired, but what I am pointing out
he's insinuating that he might have not been, you know.
I'm just saying, like, we've talked on this show about what Georgia's offensive line
it didn't
was
look great.
Left when Matt Luke was the guy. It definitely was not the Georgia standard. Yes, he did retire, but I'm saying.
Yeah. Kirby came into his office and said, hey, Matt, congratulations on the retirement, man. Could not be more happy. Matt Luke goes, I didn't retire when he goes, I'll see you later, man. Best
the papers
wishes.
Are on my desk and signed. You're welcome.
And no, that's not actually what happened.
No. You know, his son was a high school senior.
Yeah.
I get it.
So, you know, he did want to hang around North Oconee.
And
it was
I get
a legitimate
that, for sure.
retirement.
No, yeah.
He spent 2 years out of the sport. It wasn't like he was 6 months
in
pool of Kyle Whittingham.
I'm not
this
speaking
wasn't the,
down on him.
This wasn't the Bobby Hawk guy from North Dakota State or whatever the hell that South Dakota State. Wasn't that guy. It was a situation where we spent 2 years out of football. That being said, I don't think anybody was, like, upset in that building that they had to go rebuild the room because they had to go rebuild the room anyways.
Right.
Right.
He could light a fire under anybody's ass, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, man. That dude had
juice. He brought
juice.
The juice.
That dude brought the juice. Which leads to our promotions. Phil Rauscher promoted from offensive analyst to offensive line coach, Stacy Searles to replace him in the analyst department.
Good quick exchange there.
That was one of those, oh, you're a dude.
Yeah.
We have to either promote you or watch you walk out of the building.
You've been coaching offensive line in the NFL for how long? Okay.
Yeah, we got to make sure we do not lose you.
Yeah, you might be what is known as a commodity out here in the offensive line world. A lot of takes about offensive line lately. Have y'all noticed this?
What do you mean?
David Pollock was like, it's the worst I've ever seen it from offensive line play style standpoint.
Hmm.
Like, we don't move people anymore. It's like, well, the game's changed dramatically.
Yes.
How we even run the football has changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
So I would also argue defensive line play's gotten really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Scheme on defensive line play's gotten really, really good. Guys used to stand in the gap and then get moved. Nowadays, the guy that was in this gap's two gaps over. The guy that was three gaps over is now hitting me in my face.
Let me run this take by you. Traditionally, offenses have the advantage because they know what play they're going to run. Defense, it's the opposite, the defensive line. Because the offense knows what play they're going to run, but they don't know what the defense is going to do. They don't know what stunts are going to be run. They don't know who's coming from where. They don't know what formation you're going to be in by the time of the snap. The defensive line is the one unit on the defense that has the advantage over the offense.
From a, I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Everybody else is reacting to the football, really.
Yeah, like, that's my take on that.
Nowadays. I mean, there was a, I feel like a 10-year span of Nick Saban, Kirby Smart defenses where everybody was two-gapping. Everybody.
Yeah.
And then, like, I would say 3 or 4 years ago, people started stunting like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody. I watched a couple of teams this year that nut and ton stunt on every play.
I believe it.
Every play. And that's totally different than what it was several years ago. Maurice Smith. Is that a Mo Smith? Are we mowing that?
It's Mo Smith, Maurice Smith, however you want to go.
Maurice is the government name.
Now, you guys have a much better relationship with the Mo Smith, the player, than I do. Mm-hmm. I was still playing ball.
It's the first Kirby Smart transfer legend.
He was that good. I know he had a bunch of picks. Was he that good? I don't know the
Mo
Smith.
He won the Auburn game in 2016.
Okay, yes. So I need to go back and rewatch 2016 football.
The offense did not score a single touchdown. That's what his career at Georgia boiled down to was he made that play. He made the pick six against Auburn in 2016.
Yeah, he was a very reliable cornerback at a time when the defense was very clearly figuring things out, and he has an absolutely legendary moment. Kind of like a la Verron Haynes.
Mm.
Like, yeah. Solid player that has a legendary moment will live on forever and ever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it was that the Tennessee wearing them god-awful gray jerseys pick?
No.
Is that
the
Mo
pick,
Smith?
The pick was against Auburn.
Oh. It was Sean Y, Auburn. They were ranked like 16th in the country.
No, they were top 10.
Top 10. They had number 9 in the country, I believe.
With non-snowboarder Sean White.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Georgia was unranked. Kind of struggling that year.
There's your upside to the Gus Malzahn era, guys. He had Sean White as a top 10 team in November with the Auburn Tigers.
Hey, he was a big time recruit, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
The Sean White kid?
Mm-hmm, he was.
Hmm. What a time in college football.
Different era, man.
Yeah, so those are the promotions. And the fresh hires, Larry Knight, the outside linebackers coach, pass rush specialist. Look, I'm not going to sit here and act like I watched Arkansas State football all year last year, but it's pretty obvious the production numbers that, you know, we went from, I think they were 100th in sacks or something like that to top six.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty drastic turnaround. And the only difference was him.
I can't remember whose list it was. It may have been 247, I want to say, that did this list, but he was one of the candidates on a 30 under 30 list.
As was David Whitlow Jr., by the way.
Mm.
So they got two.
Oh, that's the one I'm thinking
of.
Yeah,
that's the one you're probably thinking of on that list. But, this is a premier pass rush specialist coach, and that's what was needed. I don't think you need somebody to come in and teach guys how to hold the edge. You got to teach somebody how to get home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this guy's all about.
Yep.
And I talked about it last night. We'll find out what he wants from a height, weight, speed, physical profile standpoint really, really quickly. They announced it today. I think Kirby actually gave a quote in that announcement today. Let me find that. What are you guys' thoughts on Larry Knight?
This is honestly the hire that I'm most excited about. And it's one that I've probably said over the last 3 years of hires that Georgia's had that I'm the most excited about because it's an area of deficiency and it's one that everybody seems to be excited about. And I do trust Kirby Smart's judgment. I trust his ability to scout his staff and the people that he's worked with. But the fact that this does come from somewhat of an outside source, and it's not a, oh, he worked with Kirby 15 years ago, or he was friends with this position coach and this is how they know each other. It's a guy that they actually went out and found. That's exciting to me. Not to say that that's the way that it needs to be done all throughout, but if Georgia's defense, and he can bring that next level of pass rush, it's going to be a slam dunk hire.
Kirby, it's very akin to the Uzo hire. Uzo came out of nowhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was very fast ascending, but from a sense of like, you hired a guy that's at SMU and TCU in the same 12-month cycle? Like, what? Where? What? Who? Boom. Immediately. Great. 4 years now with Dallas. I mean, people argue whether or not he's great. He came from TCU, spent 4 years at Georgia, and now he's an NFL position coach. So you can have your own opinions about stat production, but like, that's a football coach. That's a great football coach. Here's the quote from Kirby today. Quote, we are excited to add a coach and a man of Coach Knight's caliber to the staff. He has produced on the field at all of his coaching stops and has also proven his worth as one of the best recruiters around. Coach Knight was a conference champion on the field when he played for Central Michigan, and I know he is ready to get to work in his home state. It's Augusta, Georgia native. It's a guy that's from the state. He's also spent time at Georgia Tech, too, so he's recruited the state really well during his time in the state. So, I figured when this job came available, ain't no way they're going to hire some 54-year-old dude that's been around the block. Like, this is going to be a young go-getter that probably ain't going to be here very long.
Right.
That's just kind of the nature of that business at that position. It's a premier position.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
You do well at it, you're going to climb. You're going to go from outside linebackers coach to NFL outside linebackers coach or outside linebackers coach to defensive coordinator somewhere. I know for a fact Uzo turned down DC jobs. So
doesn't surprise me at all.
Big time DC jobs. Waiting for this one because he knew this was around the corner at some point. David Whitlow, we talked a lot about at the top of the show. It's a brilliant young football coach that has climbed the ranks really, really quickly as a wide receiver specialist and now going to help out more as a quarterback's type of coach.
So. Yeah.
And then Robert Edwards was a massive addition as well. I bet that guy's going to recruit really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I bet Robert Edwards is going to recruit this state really well.
I would say, I'll be honest, I wasn't familiar with the fact that he had been, you know, coaching at the high school level to that pedigree that he had been.
Not just that, dude. I've seen Robert like training running backs like on the side, like doing the same thing Terrence does, mm-hmm. but from a running back standpoint mm-hmm. for a long time. This dude's been coaching football for a minute. I'm glad to see him get a run at something like this.
No doubt. Always good to see alumnus back in the G.
I would imagine Terrence would be at this role by now if he wasn't a head football coach at a really well-paying job. He's doing all right for himself.
No doubt.
Right about now, I would imagine. So, yeah, man, they've had a lot of coaching additions and changes this offseason. I think your point about the fact that we've gone 7 years without a demotion is insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, James Coley is the last one where it's like, all right, buddy.
Ooh, that didn't work. You got
to
go.
Yeah, you're not going from Georgia's offensive line coach to retired. You're going from Georgia's offensive coordinator to Texas A&M's wide receiver coach.
And even that one, it was more so like, oh, maybe we made the wrong call there.
Yeah.
Because you're really good at what you were doing. We maybe jumped the gun to call
you. Matter of fact, we love you so much, coach. We'll see you in 3 years.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Four?
It was a little longer. Yeah, 2019, and then he came back in 2024.
We'll see in a little bit.
Yeah.
You might have to do a watch-along with Jimbo Fisher in the Texas A&M football facilities, but other than that, it'll be
fun.
Yeah,
you got to watch us win an Natty the 2 years after we tell you to.
But he was on the watch-along.
I remember.
That's what I'm saying.
Him and Jimbo sitting right there talking about Georgia football.
Yeah.
Woo!
I've watched all media that encapsulates the Georgia National Championship, so don't worry. Every reaction, every person talking about it, I know it's been done.
It was the last time you rewatched the 2022 national title?
Full, like start to finish, it's been a while. I'll rewatch the fourth quarter every now and then, or like the last three or four drives, you know, just like every other month or so.
I recently rewatched the first half.
You ever watched the loss?
Fuck no. Sorry.
Whoa!
Excuse me.
Whoa! That first timer.
Excuse me.
First time he popped a cherry.
No, I've hit the F word before.
Woo!
My bad, guys. That's how strong I feel about watching a loss.
Somebody clip it.
Fuck no.
Oh my god.
No, why would I relive that?
I only ask because like I lost a state championship in high school and I would watch it every December the next 6 years.
No, dude. Why would you do that?
The only losses I have ever rewatched are the times where I come in here for film
study.
Yeah,
on film studies, like, why did this happen? What's like?
That's the only time I rewatch a loss.
But that's different. That's like,
and you have to do that.
Yeah, it's my job.
And that,
yeah.
But that's also like studying things, like reliving the broadcast and the environment of that. No thanks. I'm good, man.
I love Van Lathan to death. You're a good friend of mine. You don't know nothing about content, you know, about college football content. I say this because he called me last offseason, and he was like, you know what you should do? You should watch all of the most heart-wrenching losses of all time and explain why we lost it.
No.
And I'm like, Van, why would I do this? He's like, dude, I catch myself all the time watching, like, the 2008 Alabama LSU game.
Oh, he just loves pain.
Yeah.
Why, he's a psycho. Dude?
So maybe it's just a him thing, because we tried it. Remember we watched the 2012 SEC championship game?
Yeah.
Zero numbers.
Like, poop. I can say
absolute
this
poop.
For a fact.
You hated that.
No, I didn't hate that, because it was actually kind of fun to rewatch some of the players on the field. But, like, that would be like me rewatching the 2017 national title game. I have not rewatched a single play from that game other than when it is forced in front of my eyes.
I look away.
Yeah. Like, I will never.
Every single time Georgia plays Alabama and they do the recap of the series and they show, I look away. I refuse.
If it's
to
ever
watch
in my
it.
Search history, have me committed. I'm serious. We'll never rewatch it.
Damn. All right, good to know.
Yep.
Good to know. You want to play a game?
Let's play a game.
Let's play a game, shall we?
All right. So
explain the game, Kirby.
So I've got a couple of scenarios here of just hypotheticals, statistics, or certain things that could happen through the 2026 season. And I'm going to list two at a time, and I want you guys to tell me which is more likely to happen.
Ah, seems simple enough.
Yeah. So first one, very simple. What's more likely to happen? Gunnar Stockton has 3,000 passing yards this year, or Nate Frazier has 1,100 rushing yards.
So, if my memory serves me, this is a 200-yard uptick for both of them?
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm going to go with Frazier, just because there's too many unknowns in the receiving room for me to bank on an uptick in the passing yards department.
If he is anything, a year two growth relative to Stetson, he clears.
Mm-hmm.
Stetson went like 2,800 to almost 4,000.
It's true.
So if we have anything at all relative to growth, we'd clear this.
Here's why I'm going Gunner. Because, yes, there are some major questions about the wide receiver room. Nate Frazier was, like, the lone running back Georgia had for four or five games this year because Chauncey Bones was dealing with an injury. Now, I understand that you had Josh McCray and you had Cass Jones and Bo Walker and other guys on that roster. But it was, hey, Nate Frazier's getting 60 to 70% of our carries. If Chauncey and Nate are healthy throughout the year, it's probably going to be much more 50-50, and that's going to make it that much harder for Nate to get that many yards. So that's why I'm going Gunner.
Kirby's onto a good point here. Historically, Nate probably got as much of a rep share as any Georgia back's gotten in a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know that to be fact based off attempts. So is it reasonable to say he's going to have just as many or fewer carries in 2026 as he did in 2025?
And to my own point, or to counter my own point of picking Nate, I talked about the wide receiver rooms. There's questions on the offensive line, too. So it's not safe to just assume that the run blocking is going to be as good as it was last year, because Monroe Freeling, Micah Morris, a healthy Drew Bobo, and the two freshmen were really good. But who's to say it continues to be that this next year?
He got 173 attempts in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
And give me a second, and I'll tell you just where that is in terms of relative towards everybody else in the season. Also, what doesn't necessarily help Nate is the fact that Gunner had 129 rushing attempts last
year.
That's
true, too.
You know?
Now, Gunner might have less attempts this year, and that could play into a factor there. But I do see a world where it's a 1-2 punch. And it felt like sometimes last year it was kind of, hey, Nate's our feature back, and we'll put in other guys when he needs a breather. But it is the Nate Frazier show because Chauncey Bones is unavailable right now.
100%.
So that's why I said Gunner a little bit. But
okay.
Guys, you got more totes from Nate last year. Then I'm all the way back to 2021 Zamir White, 161 carries. Like, Nate got more carries last year than any back's gotten at Georgia in maybe 7 or 8 years.
I believe it. I would say DeAndre Swift was probably the last one to get more.
I mean, it was the biggest, other than the year that
you'd be right, 2019, 196 totes for DeAndre Swift.
Other than the
1,200 yards, that's about what it's going to take. 190 carries.
Other than the 2019 to 2020 change, I would say that this past season was the biggest offensive identity change that Georgia's gone under Kirby Smart.
Yeah, for sure. All right, moving on. What's more likely to happen? Georgia finishes the regular season 12-0, or Georgia finishes the regular season 9-3?
The floor is 10-2, so 12-0.
The three losses.
I'm not backing off my floor take. I'm there. I'm there till I'm not.
I'm with you. It's really hard for me to even envision a 9-3 season.
Yeah, find three losses.
I can tell
now,
you.
Now, they might happen. I'm just saying, going into the season, find three.
The three that would come to mind for me at this very moment would be, I could see them losing to Alabama. I could see them losing to Oklahoma. I could see them losing to Florida. Like, those three.
Ole Miss, maybe.
Ole Miss. I would put Ole Miss above Florida right now. I mean, those three.
And Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Georgia, for all extensive purposes, she could have very easily had a 9-3 season in 2024.
Correct. And last year.
Yeah.
I mean, last year, if my man from Tennessee don't push it right. What, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen.
If Josh McCray doesn't perform a miracle on 4th-and-2 against Ole Miss.
8-4.
Like, stuff. So, like, yeah, like, it's possible. Now, those have fallen in Georgia's favor because of the way that that team plays and it puts themselves in a position, but 12-0 is really hard with that schedule.
I'm with you. I just think it's harder for me to go those 5 or 6 tough games and pick them to lose 3 of them.
Yeah, I could.
It's way easier to pick them to go undefeated for me.
That's fair. Next one. What is more likely to happen? KJ Bolden leads the team in interceptions or CJ Wiley leads the team in receptions?
Oh, KJ Bolden.
Not a hard pick for you?
No, just because, like, historically speaking, like, that position for Georgia, like, the X receiver position, that's not typically the spot that's going to lead Georgia in receptions unless, like, you're a completely, like, unstoppable talent, which maybe CJ Wiley turns into that.
That's fair.
But KJ Bolden, we've talked about the opportunities were there for him last year to make interceptions. And if that turns a page this year and he's making those plays, it's just easy for me to envision that happening.
Also, there won't be a defensive player next year that plays more snaps than KJ Bolden. It's
great answer too.
Very true.
That there dude ain't coming off the field.
No, he will not.
That's probably that one was probably the more obvious decision. What's more likely to happen? Georgia averages 38 points per game on offense next year, or Georgia's defense allows less than 15 points per game on offense or defense next year?
The offensive points per game.
Yeah, probably. I mean, is anybody holding anybody under 15 anymore?
Okay, let's move it up to 17.
You'd have to push it all the way to 20.
20 seems fairly attainable at Georgia.
It does. I think last year was 18.6.
Ohio State and Indiana both held teams under 15 points
per game. Yeah, so I'm sticking with 15's fair.
Ohio State held teams to 9 points per game last year. Indiana held teams to 11.7 points per game. Texas Tech held teams to 11.8.
All right.
My Toledo Rockets.
Who in the SEC? Who had the best defense in the SEC last year?
Oklahoma.
At what?
15.5.
So can they be Oklahoma of 2026?
They could be.
They could be.
Could they be?
I think that's more likely than them almost scoring 40.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of 24-14 football games next year.
Just sitting on it?
Squatting them. How y'all like my new offense? Type shit.
Here's a fun one. I should say type shit.
Hey, fault with me, twin.
All right. What's more likely to happen? Georgia wears black jerseys this season.
Oh, here we go
again. Or Georgia loses every road or neutral site game in 2026.
You could have gone, or we find the cure for cancer, and I would have gone.
Well, Kirby, they're not playing on Black Friday this year, so black jerseys are out of the question, right?
Still one of my
– them's the rules.
Still one of my poorest
– them's the rules.
Poorest aging takes. You guys want more or you want to move on?
It's more likely that Georgia loses every road or neutral site game than wearing black jerseys this year.
Facts.
All right, what's more likely to happen this season? Gunnar Stockton rushes for 500 total yards, or Georgia never allows a single rusher to have more than 100 yards in a game?
Gunnar had, like, mid-300s?
No, he was, like, 460 last year.
Oh, 400s, that's what I meant. Sorry, because you set the bar at 500.
Was Weisner the only back to do for 100 this year?
He got to 100.
Who was it?
Oh, Weisner did not get to 100.
Somebody gave him 100 this year, didn't they?
I can check the game logs.
I don't believe so.
I don't think anybody did.
Kiwon didn't?
Mm-mm.
Kiwon was like 74. They don't give up 100 yards rushing that often.
I can't even remember the last one.
I think it happened in
You think Google
Jalen Milroe
AI has got this?
Jalen Milroe might have done it to him in 2024. Let's see if Google AI's got it.
This is riveting television.
Damn, are you typing in a paragraph?
Searching. Cody Schrader of the Missouri Tigers.
2023 Missouri. Uh-huh. Yeah.
22 carries for 112 yards. He is the last football player. I'm going nobody rushes for 100.
Yeah, I could see that.
So you don't think Gunner can find another 40 to 50 yards? Possible.
He certainly can. I think maybe both of these clear. This might be the first one you've given me where I'm like, I could see both of them happen.
Toss it up.
Yeah.
All right.
The Schrader thing happened on like two carries too, I felt like.
He did have some gashers in that game, yeah. I remember. All right.
Oh, the Brady Cook quarterback draw in that game. Mm. Filthy.
Damn.
Sorry.
That's a really underrated Georgia game. Back and forth. Like,
to be honest with you, it's because it's Missouri.
No, I understand that, but like,
it's honest to God, if you just only wore the black jerseys and only wore the white jerseys to remove the yellow, I think you'd be more aesthetically pleasing.
But no, like back and forth, top 15 matchup. You had a bunch of exciting plays, you know, a big man interception, down to the wire. It was an exciting football game. Yeah. People don't really talk about that. What's more likely to happen? Amaris Williams has 6 sacks in 2026, or DeMelo Jones or Ellis Robinson combine for 8 interceptions.
Oh, the 6 sacks.
Six sacks.
You got to bring that all the way down to like 5.
Ellis four had four. Was, Ellis
here,
had
here's one
year.
For you. Who's the last corner to have multiple interceptions for Georgia in a season?
Ellis Robinson last season.
Okay.
He just said it.
Yeah, you're right.
He had 4 last year.
I thought we had to go all the way back to Eric Stokes.
Malachi probably had multiple.
That's not a corner.
Oh, corner. Dalen.
Yeah, he had 2 against Texas in one game.
You had.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Bad
but
question.
I'm with Amaris with
That's
6
fair.
Plus
yeah,
sacks.
Amaris. I'm with
That's
you on
fair.
That one.
All right, the last one I have. What's more likely to happen? Georgia gets 3 night games in Athens this year or is in 5 one-score fourth quarter matchups?
Sorry, I was doing Jonathan's player comp. One more time on this.
So night game candidates this year would be Oklahoma. That seems like a legitimate night game opportunity. Georgia Tech is at home this year.
Yes.
That could be a sneaky option for a night game.
That's either going to be a noon or a night game.
Yeah, that's going to be Auburn could be a legitimate option for a night game potentially, but that one's more likely going to be an afternoon kickoff if I had to guess. 3 seems like a stretch this year because you go to Alabama on the road, you go to Ole Miss on the road.
Hmm. You don't think they're putting Jared Curtis under the lights when he rolls in?
Probably not. I would imagine that one's not going to be a night game. They don't hand them out like that at Georgia. So I'll go with the other option.
5-1 score fourth quarter match, which they had those last year.
Yeah.
So makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jonathan.
You want my comp?
It's comp time. Do you want your player comp first?
No.
Okay.
I want you to keep building on
I've got 4 of them.
I feel like you came up with that way too quickly.
Are these only Georgia player comps?
There's only 1 Georgia player in the mix.
Okay.
I've got a position player comp for you. A high-end, low-end comp, and a quarterback comp for you.
Okay. All right. We'll sit on that one, see if you can think of anything else while I proceed to give my comp for the Georgia Bulldogs in the 2026 season. Now, if you guys remember correctly, if you were with us during last offseason, I gave the take that Georgia in 2025 was going to be very similar to how Notre Dame was in 2024. And honestly, I wasn't too far off. Other than minus making a national title appearance last year, Georgia was pretty much exactly what Notre Dame was that past season, where they executed at a high rate. The offense was led by a quarterback that was willing to die for his team, and they were just a well-coached team. I felt like that's what Notre Dame was in 2024. I think you could say the same exact thing for Georgia this past season. But this time, I'm going to dip into the pot of Georgia's history to talk about Georgia's comp for the 2026 season. So dial it back a little bit with me, and let's go back to the early years of Kirby Smart, and let's talk about what Georgia was looking like going into the 2017 season. Mm-hmm. So we'll start with the running backs. I don't have to give too much description here. It was Nick Chubb returning. It was Sony Michel returning. Sony Michel was coming off of another strong season with the Bulldogs in 2016. Nick Chubb made his famous return from one of his knee injuries going into the 2016 season. But I would also say that, you know, didn't get all of Nick Chubb. It still felt like he was holding back just a little bit. Wasn't his typical self.
Well, like half Chubb?
Really?
I'm sorry.
Trying to give a serious take? I'm sorry. Derail the segment, why don't you? don't feel like we got all of Nick Chubb in that season because, you know, it's still rehabbing an injury. But anyways, I digress. Didn't get a full healthy Nick Chubb is what I'm saying. And so you got one back that had a really strong season and the other one felt like maybe a redemption year coming in. At wide receiver, Georgia's kind of working on replacing Isaiah McKenzie, this gadget wide receiver, who was the majority of the offensive production in the passing attack that year. But there was no need to worry because there was this Mecole Hardman guy kind of lurking in the shadows. Seemed like he was going to be the next up-and-coming guy in that position. Amongst the other returning wide receivers that year, you had Terry Godwin coming back for a third year. Riley Ridley, who was a young wide receiver in 2016, he felt like he was a promising prospect. And you had Javon Wims, who looked the part, looked great, just hadn't had enough opportunities to really showcase what he was capable of doing in an offense. Now we'll flip over to the defensive side of the ball. You had a rising star in Roquan Smith where it just felt like he was on the precipice of potentially becoming the best linebacker in all of college football, all of the potential in the world. So a really strong candidate there that you had at linebacker. At safety, they brought in a transfer by the name of J.R. Reed to pair alongside a veteran in the form of Dominic Sanders. At defensive line, it was just a bunch of sound football players. Guys like Tyler Clark, John Atkins, Trenton Thompson, Jonathan Ledbetter, Julian Rochester, just really good football players. Maybe not first-round draft prospects, guys that were going to be first off the board, but they were just really good football players. At outside linebacker, it was Lorenzo and Carter and Davin Bellamy who were the headliners of that group, but Natrez Patrick was right behind them. He was the next one in line behind those guys. So I say all of this to say this. Nate Frazier and Chauncey Bowens may never be Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, but they feel like two of the best options in the offense this upcoming year. What if London Humphreys is the Terry Godwin to this block to this wide receiver room? What if Sakovi Wyatt-Helton is the new gadget on the block like Mecole Hardman was? And what if C.J. Wiley and Talon Taylor fill the roles of Riley Ridley and Javon Wims? Third-year Chris Cole likely won't be what Roquan Smith was in 2017, but he could be just as impactful as Roquan Smith was in 2017. Perhaps one of these transfer safeties that Georgia brought in this offseason could be the next pairing to K.J. Bolden, the veteran in the room. A new J.R. Reed on the block maybe that you find from one of these transfer safeties.
Shout out
that you
Tulsa.
Pair up with the vet. And I don't think it's crazy at all to say that the defensive line room that consists of guys like Xavier McLeod, Jordan Hall, Nnamdi Ogboko, Joshua Horton, and Elijah Griffin could be a group of nothing but really good football players with some having star potential. That obviously being Elijah Griffin. He seems like the new up-and-coming on the block. And then also, I don't have to really connect the dots for you on this one. Jake Fromm was the starting quarterback in 2017 after the injury of Jacob Eason, and he was not only the starter, but he was one of the best leaders on the football team. All I got to say there for this upcoming year at quarterback. So I'm here to say that maybe this year's Georgia football team is very much like Georgia in 2017.
I think the thing that sticks out to me most from that 2017 season is that you had so many guys that loved that school, loved that team, and, you know, potentially sacrificed. Now, it ended up being better for them, but Nick Chubb wasn't guaranteed to have the season he had in 2017. Sony Michel wasn't. Lorenzo Carter, Davin Bellamy, all those guys that came back did so because they loved playing for Georgia, they loved being part of that team, and they wanted to build something special. You get a lot of those vibes this year. Gunnar Stockton, obviously, with all the NIL stuff that went on with him. Nate Frazier, for as much as he talks about how he loves this school, it seems like there's a bunch of guys on this roster that are here right now because they want to win and have the betterment of the team. So I absolutely can see the comparisons between, you know, how it's a team that is, one, assembled and rooted in the fact that it's a bunch of guys that love playing for each other, and there's a bunch of similar types of body styles and skill sets on it.
No, I was not saying Gunnar Stockton is going to get hurt, guys. I'm saying that you have a great leader at quarterback that obviously guys rally around that. I wasn't saying Gunnar's going to get hurt. And I'm not saying that Georgia's ceiling is what Georgia's was in 2017 of coming up just short of a national title that year. That's not what I'm saying. The whole comparison is maybe this roster is built very similarly to what you had that year. And going back to your point about returning guys, like, it's not in the same capacity of guys coming back for a final season. But now that you have the transfer portal, guys can go and enter the portal. They can leave after 2 years or 1 year or 3 years. Like, there are guys that chose to stay at Georgia, guys that chose to return to the University of Georgia because they believe in what they're building right now, what they have on this roster, and the coaching staff that they have right now.
They love that G.
Yeah, exactly.
They love that G. Pierce Sperling, it's the low end.
Okay.
Could I interest you in some Mike Gesicki?
Okay.
You know?
He was once on my fantasy team.
Yeah.
I don't hate
tall
it.
Is Mike Gesicki? Like 6'5"?
Oh, no. He's a good 6'6". He's tall, long, lanky. You know? couldn't quite put the meat on him to sustain at the NFL level, but hey, dynamic weapon down the verticals. All right, so that's your tight end comp, Jonathan. You want your quarterback comp?
Yeah.
Now, don't get offended by this one. The low end of this, and I'm not saying aesthetically you look anything like this guy, but a height, weight, speed comp, Mike Glennon.
Oh, boy.
Dang.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Mike Glennon.
But if it goes right, now, not from a playing standpoint, but an ultimate career standpoint, can I interest you in a Brock Osweiler?
Okay.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah?
Very, you said, let me think of tall quarterbacks.
I mean, yeah, that's the profile right there.
Got too many options.
Thankfully, you know? A lot of my height doesn't come from my neck like Mike Glennon. I'm thankful for that.
Oh, dude. That guy got three necks.
Yeah. And not the typical three necks. Not three chins, but three necks. That
yeah.
Stacked.
Yes.
Man, it looked like a number two pencil.
Let's not body shame Mike Glennon, guys.
Are we body shaming Mike Glennon or are we neck shaming Mike Glennon?
I mean, a neck is a part of the body, so to speak.
That's my comps for you.
All right. You gave your comps. I gave mine. Hopefully this one hits the same way it did last time.
Sorry I kind of derailed your segment a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't even get a minute in.
Sorry.
Just completely
The sirens were going off. I had to say something.
Combine invites.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get ours by Friday morning. I heard that's when the cutoff is.
So. Oh.
I think we're good. We're already in the NFL system.
I applied today. I had to put a photo in for something. So
I put it in for you.
Oh, it's all signed.
Everything should be good.
Okay, well,
You got an email too?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you do it?
I'll do it tonight.
You don't need to. I already did it for you.
Okay.
I think we should be fine.
Okay.
We're good on that front.
I didn't get an email.
Well, because you didn't need a profile photo.
They know me.
I didn't either.
Do. Hot commodity over
this
here.
Is my third call. Oh. I wouldn't know that.
Boys rolling deep up into Indy.
Mm-hmm.
Should we take another rental car?
I imagine that's just kind of where we're at. That's just what we do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the funds to be flying us up there. So
understand.
We'll be grabbing an Enterprise rental car. Pretty steep.
Yeah. They weren't a month ago, but they are now.
Shit.
What about hotels? Did you look into that?
Didn't look at hotels. Didn't get that far.
Maybe we can stay at the Thunderdome with Pat McAfee.
Mm, maybe.
Sure he's got a couch we can sleep on.
Yeah.
Pat, if you're listening
today.
Does
he have three couches, though?
I mean, you guys could sleep on the floor.
Oh.
I can read an air mattress.
Sure. Yeah. Of course I can.
It beats the Starkville trip from 2022.
What part of that one, thankfully?
Neither was I.
That was hell. Combine invites. There's 10 dogs going?
10 dogs.
One of them's Brett Thorson, though, so there's nine.
Oh, whoa.
He's still a dog.
He's a dog.
No, he's a dog, but, I mean, he's not going to be out there doing much.
No.
I want to see Brett Thorson run the 40.
I'm not sure Brett Thorson wants to see himself run the 40.
I think Brett Thorson would run the 40 as a joke.
Who on this stage could outrun Brett Thorson? You think we go 3 for 3?
I don't know.
I've never
Brett
seen
Thorson
him open
strikes
the gate.
Me as sneaky fast, like sneaky, like four.
I mean, he spent most of his life running away from very venomous and dangerous animals out in Australia. So
yeah,
I'd imagine he's got some kick to his step.
According to Nate Frazier, Australian football is different because you got to be careful about the spiders on the field.
Yeah,
that's right.
Those spiders are quick. You gotta be quick yourself.
All right, there's 10 dogs at the combine. We do this every single year. I started doing this in 2020, and we've done it every year since. I guess the 40s, based off what I've watched on film. Don't do too much calling around and asking if these are correct, based off in-house testing that they do year over year. This is just a pure straight-up guess. The worst 40 guess in the history of 40 guesses. Anybody remember what it was?
Oh,
it was George Pickens.
It was George Pickens.
You guessed like
4.55,
yeah.
And he ran 4.41. Wow. That was crazy. Don't know if we're going to have any of those this year. You ready? Start with Dylan Bell. We're going alphabetical order by positions. Start with the wide receiver room. Dylan Bell, combine invite, 4.49.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I was
going
to go 4.52.
4.49. And I think we might go on the high side there, but I'm not going to lowball these guys this year. We're going to be right, and if we're right, we're going to be low. Zachariah Branch, this is a 10.38 100 meter runner coming out of high school, and I think he's somehow quicker than fast. 4.38.
I was going to go 4.39,
and you have to know like this is the event that he has to show out on.
Oh, for sure.
For, like if this
I mean,
guy
we got to burn.
If this guy wants to be a second round pick, like early day two selection, like this has got to be the one where it's like, oh yeah, that guy's worth drafting.
How long ago did they replace that turf?
Oh, last year was the first year, yeah. And you could tell.
So,
and for we got to explain this to the chat because not everybody is a NFL combine guru. The Indianapolis Lucas Oil Field turf was basically concrete. It was it was almost the closest thing to AstroTurf we had left. And then they completely redid that turf, and now there's far more pellets on it. You run slower because of it. Now, they also have far less soft contact or non-contact injuries.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Because of it, but there's a reason for it. There's a reason why the times have gotten slower by 1/100th maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a major difference.
It's not, but it's a difference.
I don't think that 40 combine record will ever be broken again.
No.
I don't think. Mm-mm. The 4-2-1, I don't know if it'll ever be broken.
Witness history.
Colby Young, 4.55.
I was gonna go 4.53.
I think 4.58, 4.55. I don't know if I've ever seen Colby run. And I'm like, damn.
I don't know. There was a play actually that we watched on film the other day that he was running so fast I didn't think it was Colby.
Huh. From the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
Was that the play Gunner almost died?
No. Yes. Yes, it was that one.
The yards after catch on that?
Yes. Yeah. I was like, that's not Colby Young. I was like, oh, yeah, it is.
It was. People said, what was your guess on Jordan Davis? 4.99. I think he ran 4.78.
Yeah. But that one's so hard to
I thought finish. I thought I was on crack saying he was going to run sub-5.
Right.
Going into that.
And also, like,
also didn't know he was going to come in 30 pounds underweight.
Like, and defensive linemen are hard to judge because hardly ever do you see them really
open it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Jordan Davis did a few times chasing some quarterbacks down, and it was evident on tape there was some speed there.
Should you be upset Noah Thomas didn't get an invite? Should you be going to bat for that one?
I mean, he's certainly showed that he's an NFL caliber prospect.
I feel like if you put up 800 yards in one season at any point in your career in the SEC, yeah, you should get
I was personally right. surprised by it because of the sheer fact that he is like a prototypical NFL X build and showcased that at times this season. Obviously, the production was not there from Georgia's standpoint, what they were hoping that he was, but he had a multiple touchdown game. He had a 70-plus yard touchdown. Like,
I'm not saying he's going to have the NFL success that this guy's already had because I'm pretty sure Dante Thornton Jr. is working out. Is that working out?
Is he working out?
He's on the Raiders. He's doing all right. There's a lot of potential. Okay. There's a lot of upside and hope.
But that could have been this year's combine performance from a guy like Noah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
where you're almost 6'6". And that's another one of these kids that at 6'6", was a 10'8 kid in the 100. He's probably going to run 4.4 at the pro day. Like, you would imagine he's going to run pretty quickly. Could have been a huge stock rising opportunity.
I would
for
say
him.
That he's going to be the biggest story out of Georgia's pro day, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time, the guys that go to Indy and do well, don't. I mean, they just kind of show up.
Right.
Ah, my hamstring hurt.
Yeah.
My ankle hurt.
I'm over here eating the chips.
Let me go talk to who's ever here.
Let me go hype up whoever freaks on the bench press real quick.
Mm. Oscar Delp. Now, I got a little bit inside of trading on this one. Because I hand-timed him illegally in high school. So. I hope the Nike opening's not listening.
Do they still do that?
They did. His was the last, like, big one. I mean, he was out there. Jeremiah Smith was out there. I mean, they were dudes at that last Nike opening in L.A. And, yeah, they still do one. I think nowadays it's more 7-on-7 based. I saw something with one of those YouTube content creators, a wide receiver guy down there doing one-on-ones. So I have seen some opening content, but it's not near as what it used to be. 4.56 on Oscar Delp.
I'll go with your judgment. I'm going to go 4.59 because he has put on some weight since mm-hmm. then.
Since high school. I had him at a 4.51 at 230-ish pounds.
Okay, so.
He's probably going to come into the combine at like 243,
mm-hmm.
244, so. He'll be he's a guy that's already shooting up boards.
Yeah, people are catching on.
Yeah, the Twitter scouts are drooling over this guy.
Mm-hmm. I talked about it last night. I've already gotten text messages like, why didn't this guy do – he's a freak. Mm-hmm. Always has been. Monroe Freeling, 5.05.
Is he going to run it?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Joe Alt did, though. If I really want to hammer home the Joe Alt comp, go run 4.9 with a 1.78 split.
For someone like Monroe, maybe you do run it because you are very athletic.
Yeah,
like, that is fringe. One of your strong suits of being.
How else are we going to get drafted over Malaga? Francis.
Yeah, there you go. Like, it could be very beneficial for him just to go out there and do as much as he
Mauanoa.
Can.
Mauanoa.
I'm going to go.
Really? How do you say that?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 5-1-3.
Okay. What? Oh, you said 5-1-3. I'm like, whoa. Kristen, or I put Micah Morris a DNR.
Yeah.
Do not run.
Do not.
Do not. I mean, that might 5-6.
He just needs to go do the bench press.
Has Micah fully sprinted? When was the last time Micah Morris fully sprinted?
I mean, there were times where I'm sure he had to out in the screen game a little bit.
I can guarantee you Micah Morris has never fully sprinted for 40 yards.
No.
During a game.
And this is also not going to be some Ben Cleveland story where we magically roll 4-8-1.
No.
I don't think it's going to be one of those.
Just go out there and show you're the strongest human.
Absolutely. Kristen Miller, 4.92?
I'll go 4.87.
Think so?
Yeah.
How well are we training out there in L.A.? That's the question.
Yeah. Don't D linemen typically lose weight for these types of events too, though?
Excess. Unless you're an undersized edge rusher, and then you put on a bunch of weight. Drink a lot of water before you weigh in. CJ Allen's a tough one for me. 4.51. 4.51 is what I guessed. Really, surprisingly tight hipped for a guy that was sub 11 seconds in high school at 230 pounds.
Strikes me as an explosive guy. Might not be like the top end speed.
Yeah. Like 0 to 20, we're gonna be good. Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna look like we're straining. It's gonna be one of those where Daniel Jeremiah's like, "Ooh, he looks like he's efforting." Wow, 4.51, didn't feel that fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be one of those.
Yeah. Oh, he's moving.
Me and I'm gonna have to have a word with Daniel Jeremiah when I get up there in Indiana.
Also, just a quick question. This is nothing to do with the Bulldogs in this combine. Why do the people narrating the combine and broadcasting it treat like it's a golf event?
Oh, that's a great question.
Like, it's like,
why do they feel like they have the whisper?
There's no atmosphere.
That's why.
But yeah,
you've been there. There's no noise.
It's dead silent.
If you're loud and boisterous in that press box, the whole entire stadium can hear you.
Like, there's no need to shout.
I guess so. I don't know. I just feel like for
you want to be. Oh, we're cooking. We're cooking. And it's a 4-4.
Yeah, dude. That'd be sick.
Oh, my God. He improved his time.
Yeah. It's
4.53.
Like, and here comes the linebacker from the University of Georgia.
I like it, kind of. It's just like kick your feet up a little bit, have it on.
Trust me, if the vibe needed juice, Rich Eisen would meet it.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Rich Eisen's a goat.
I don't know.
I don't know about a goat.
I just feel like it's a little too golfy for me for a football event.
Daylon Everett, 4.32.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4.37.
I hope that happens.
I'll go 4.37. I think 4.32 is getting really close.
I think Daylon will be the fastest Georgia Bulldog at the combine.
I don't doubt that at all.
Faster than Zachariah Branch, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
By a nudge.
Yeah.
And if you simulcasted them, Zachariah would have like a full yard on him at the first 20, and then we'd nudge him out there at the end. Isn't it weird how they teach track guys to finish like that, but they don't teach guys in 40s to run like that?
Some of them do, though. I feel like some of them do try.
One of you track guys in the chat, help me out here. Do they actually teach that in track? The sprinters finish?
I don't know.
Does it make you faster?
I don't know what the science is behind.
Because in baseball, they teach you to run through the bag.
Mm. I think that might be when you're racing someone to very clearly cross the finish line beforehand. I don't know how much that movement.
Oh, last time I watched 100-meter was Usain Bolt's time period. I haven't really tuned into track since then. And old Tink Tink got me for a little bit.
They actually had a track event on at Paloma Park one time that I watched a couple months ago. Which, by the way, RIP, RIP downtown Athens, De Palmas. I don't know if anyone in the chat is familiar with the Athens area, but
best breadsticks I've ever had.
February 27th, they will no longer be operating in businesses downtown. So very sad about that.
They're doing something down there, aren't they? Redoing.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact name of it, but it's basically the best way to describe it, it's like a big courtyard now.
Yeah, which is kind of what it's been for the last 10 years.
Like that place we walked through in Texas A&M.
Not really.
Kind
not
of.
Not like an avenue type joint.
It's
but just
like
going
to be like one section.
Well, what it was, it used to be like a road. And then they were just like, all right, too many people walk here.
It happened during COVID. That's when they shut down the road.
Oh, right really?
Yeah, I thought it was during COVID that they shut it down.
So they shut the road down, and now it's like, well, no one's using the road. Let's make this a courtyard for all the homeless people to sleep in.
Yeah, I can't remember why during COVID they shut that down, but I believe it was kind of one of those things of where they had to shut it down, and then they were like, oh, actually, this is a great idea. We'll just keep it shut down.
All right, so here's my promise to every single Georgia fan listening to me right now. I will not be watching that second half of that basketball game because it's too close for me to sway that one at all. I guarantee you, if I turned on that basketball game right now, Kentucky's going on a 10-0 run.
Thank you. Thank you for your service.
So,
yes, Mike, the other location's still open.
Mike Mobley, if you're listening right now out there in Cortina, I care about them Hoop Dogs, but they have asked me to stay away. The fan base has, so I'm staying away. I've covered more Hoop Dog games this year than ever before in my life. We'll see y'all tomorrow for film study. See you Thursday for a live show. Love you. Bye.